Today we'll speak about a topic which we all know about, but maybe we'll have it in a different perspective. We'll speak about sin and the cross. We all know that we were punished because of Adam's sin, right? Okay. Do we feel that we should be held accountable for such a sin? Because we hear lots of people, we say, okay, Adam sinned, what's my business in that? Does it make sense that I would be punished for something that I have never done? Or because Adam sinned, I'm punished. Also, on top of that, we weren't there in the Garden of Eden. So why would we be involved in such a punishment or in such a decision? So are we accountable for Adam's sin? Are we held accountable for Adam's sin or not? Yes. Other ideas? Yes or no? It's yes and no. So if we came from the beginning, like when we attend the liturgy, we always hear Abuna saying the story from the beginning. He say, okay, Ya Allah al-Azim al-Abadi, O God Almighty, and he begins saying the story again. Then in the middle, he begins again to say the story from the beginning, from Adam. Because this is our story, not Adam's story. It has nothing to do with Adam, it has to do with us. So every time we hear in the church about Adam, we hear about ourselves, not about Adam. So, yeah. So when we think about it, I'll just wait for a minute till everybody just gather quickly. Come closer as much as you can, as close as possible. Closer, Mark, closer, closer. So we're speaking about the sin, and we began with saying, are we held accountable for Adam's sin? So sometimes people would say, okay, in the first place, why did God allow Adam and Eve to sin? He cannot just permit them from doing sin, just tell them, stop here. I think I'd rather not hold something in my hand. But thanks, I can put this here, is it possible? I'll hold it. Don't worry. Okay. I'm not used to hold something in my hand, so I'll try. Whenever you see me just putting it away, just tell me it's... We are speaking about, I'll just repeat quickly this part of I guess this is easier.
Yeah, this is better.
Okay. Thanks anyway for that.
Because you're closer to the...
Yeah,
so.
Okay. But I cannot pull because I'll pull this also. Maybe I can do this next. Is it okay this way? So we said, are we held accountable for Adam's sin? Then we said, yes and no. There's still argument about this. Then I'm asking, God can just permit Adam and Eve from committing the sin? and just relieve us from this hassle? It can be. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them and he was having the full knowledge of what's going on, like a genius person, when a genius person has a project in front of him, he would say, okay, what is the possibilities of this to happen? What's the possibilities of this to happen? What would be the chances that this would happen? Of course, God has this great intelligence. And he knows beforehand what may happen and what may not happen. So with this kind of great and grand intelligence, won't be he able to forecast that Adam and Eve would sin and prevent them from that? Does it make sense? Is it logical or not? Just if you nod your head, I'll feel it's okay, or just I won't ask somebody or put somebody on the spot, but just does it make sense or not? Okay. So the question is, why did God punish Adam and Eve for a mistake that they were susceptible for, or they were expected to fall into? Why did God make this kind of punishment? Is it fair or not fair? Okay, let me tell you a story. We'll leave this aside, put it aside, and I'll tell you a story just to make life easy. Once upon a time, there was a couple. And this couple loved each other and got married. Then, after some time, they loved each other to the limit that they said, okay, we'll get somebody else to share this love with us. So they decided to get a pet. So they got a pet and another one and another one. And they enjoyed giving this pet all of their love. But they figured that this is not the case. They have more love to give than just giving it to a pet. So they sat together and decided to have kids. So when they got the kids, they were so happy. They gave their love to their kids, and they began just flooding them with their love. After some time, the kids began to grow up, and they began to play. So they decided to give them a place to play at home. Sorry, we are not away from our story, by the way. Just use your imagination. We are still with Adam and Eve. So when they grew up more, the parents decided to give them a bit of freedom. So they got out of this cage, and they left them to play in the house. But something happened. Uh-oh. So they began playing, and all of a sudden, the girl went to the fireplace and said, I touched it. Nothing happened to me. So the boy was so naive that he ran at the fireplace and he put his both hands and he burned himself. This is exactly our story from the beginning. God created Adam and Eve because he, when we read the Bible from the beginning, it is with the plural, the subject is the plural. Like, we will do this, we will do this. We read it in English, in the singular. But in the original languages, it's the plural. So God was having love flowing inside him. And God decided to create the mankind. Of course, he created the animals or the pets to share this love. Of course, they weren't enough. So he created the mankind to enjoy this love. Then the mankind began to make mistakes. When they began to grow up, they began to make mistakes. This is, I'm repeating again, this is not Adam's and Eve's story, it's our story. So they began to make mistakes. So I'm going just to ensure this story is in parallel with our story. So of course, the parents of these kids, they took the son to the hospital, treated him, and what did they do? They put a guard for the Garden of Eden. This is what they did. This is what God did. I'm just telling you, because now you are all adults, but we need to know the story of our salvation to have it in our mind in a simple way. And this is the way that God teached us. He teached us with parables, everything. So if we understand the story in this perspective, we won't blame Adam. It is a normal story that happens every day in our life, and it happens to us like it happened to Adam, happened to everybody. So let us see it with this simple way. So of course, Adam and Eve were prohibited from entering the Garden of Eden, and they were cast out, exactly like these kids were prohibited from touching this place, not to harm themselves again. So what is sin now? This is a question. Need an answer. A virus, yeah. You can relate it to the story, you can say it separately. I'm open for all the kind of discussion. What is sin? I'm sorry. Disobedience, right? The absence of God, that's correct. But God is not absent. I cannot see, okay. It can be absence of God in my life, that's right. Yeah, what else? Yeah?
Losing sight of God's
path. Path of God, yeah. Any other additions? This is sin. All what you said is right, but this is sin. It's just something hinder me from seeing God or from feeling his presence in my life. So I'm a little bit visual, that's why I use lots of pictures. Are you okay with that? Okay. So sin is whatever thing that is hindering me from seeing God. So what kind of sins? What are the sins? Because we are speaking about Adam's sin. So what about my sin? What is the different kinds of sins? Yeah. Anything that obstruct me from God? By the way, I'm not asking what is sin, because you can say lying, committing adultery, killing. I'm not speaking about this. So I'll just jump into my answer, because just not to deviate you from the main thing. The first thing is inherited sin, which is Adam and Eve's sin, or my sin with respect to my kids or my descendants. So inherited sin. So the problem with Adam's sin was that he spoiled or corrupted the human nature. So we inherited this corrupted nature. So this is our relation with Adam, that we are upset with him because he caused corruption to my nature. So my nature began to be more susceptible to sin. I began to be a sinner, and that's why I sin. Second kind of sin is my personal sin, which is anybody of us is sinning, like I'm sinning, you are sinning, everybody's sin. So this is the personal sin that we should be concerned about.
not about Adam's sin that we inherited. So this is the second thing. So can somebody just stand up and read this part for me? I'll just get it here in... No, I don't want to go to that third. No, I won't read this. I'll just switch to the third one. Can somebody guess what is the third kind of sin? We have inherited sin, which is Adam's sin, or my sin with respect to my descendants or my kids. Personal sin, which I do and you do on daily basis or on regular basis, whatever. Then what would be the third sin? Just guess. Human nature is, it's the personal sin. I'm sorry? Something that you don't know. God is not, if I don't know that this is a sin, God won't hold me accountable for it. But if I know in my inner feeling that this is not right, then I'll be held accountable for it. So let me just jump to, yes? That is very good, but I wasn't concentrating on this, but that's a very positive way. Not doing good, it's a sin in a different way, but in a positive way. But we are speaking about sin, which is the negative part. So let me jump into the answer of this, which I got it from St. Paul epistles. When Adam sinned, God began to show him how to cover this sin or how to get this sin from Adam's account to somebody else's account. So what did God make? He showed him how to have a sacrifice, and he covered him with this skin of the sacrifice. And from there, Adam began to know that there is a sacrifice that can cover his sin or his nakedness. So this is the way that God began to build it in his mind. Also, in the in Moses' law, God gave Moses some laws how to offer a sacrifice. So he said to him what to do. He said, when somebody sin, he has to do a specific ritual. Specific order. What is this order when somebody sin? How would repent? Yes, but there is a process that they used to do. They used to get a sacrifice, a ram, for example, charuf, and they put their hand on the head of the ram, and they begin confessing their sin, and their sin will move from their head to the head of the sacrifice. So it will move, be instead of on his account, on somebody else's account. So does God need to kill some rams or some buffaloes or some cows? It's not for this, just to give us the idea about the sin that will be from one account to another account. So the third sin is the imputed sin. Imputed sin, this was not my invention. It was mentioned in the epistles of St. Paul. He began speaking about the imputed sin. And when you read what is the imputed sin, somebody can read these two lines. Can somebody just stand up and just read them?
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. I'll
to lay the responsibility
Okay. Okay. So, like the second sentence will show what is the meaning of this. We are saying this person is shy, or this person is unfriendly. So we put this on the unfriendliness of this person, but in fact, it is not because he's unfriendly, because he's shy. So we put on account of something different than the other. This terminology is used in the law. They say, okay, this person is owning this car, and this car caused this problem, so this problem of the car is imputed on his account. He is liable for this. So this is the exact same thing. So the imputed sin means that somebody sinned and somebody took the account of this sin. I'm sorry? We did not understand it now, but we accepted it for a long time. Somebody took our account. We took it for granted, but we didn't think about it. That's why I'm speaking about this. We've been speaking about Adam, we've been speaking about this, and we never speak about our sin. We never speak about the sin that is imputed on Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm saying what is the different kinds of sins, just to go for this reason. We imputed God imputed our sins on his account. So this is exactly what happens when somebody make a mistake. This in the book of Leviticus. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. Atonement means kafara, or sacrifice for him. So the person would put his hand, say his mistake, and the sin would be imputed from his account to the ram or the sacrifice account, and it would be slaughtered on his behalf. Got it? This what happened exactly in the New Testament. Do you ever see Abuna when he got the sacrifice or the urban, and he choose one, then he take it inside the altar, and because Abuna is the one that is taking all the repentance of us or of our sins, he take all of them, and he put his hand on the urbana and begin saying, "Oh Lord, you will take this." I don't know the exact wording, but you are the sacrifice of the whole world and the savior of the whole sins of everybody. So he put his hand and begin his prayer to say, take their sins on your account. So this happens in the beginning of the Mass. Every Mass, Abuna put his hand and begin saying this. I cannot find the picture that Abuna was having his hand, so I got a picture like this, but anyway. But watch for that. When Abuna finish choosing the urbana, he go inside and put his hand like this and begin saying prayers. So if we pray or if we repent, he'll take our repentance and put it on the account of Jesus Christ. So the main idea of this kind of imputed sin is to take from our account to his account all our sins. Of course, this idea was made in the Old Testament, but we benefit from it in the New Testament. As soon as our Lord Jesus Christ came, he took on our account all our sins, and from the Old Testament also all the sins from the righteous people. So this picture, I'm not sure if it's clear or not. Adam sinned, so he passed his sin to mankind, and mankind passed their sin to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ passed his righteousness to the rest of the world. So this is exactly the sequence how it worked. So for Jesus Christ, we'd like to ensure something. Our Lord Jesus Christ inherited the sin or not? Yes or no? Why? That's not the reason. Yes, because he did not come from the seed of man. That's why he broke the chain of the inherited sin, because when he was conceived in the womb of Saint Mary, he was not conceived in a normal way. So he wasn't coming from a man and a woman. He was conceived in the womb of Saint Mary. So that's why he broke this chain of inherited sin, and he was the only one without the inherited sin. So he wasn't with the sin, personal sin, and he was not with the inherited sin. So he was with no sin, either inherited or personal sin. So that's why he was able to take our account. Because if somebody is in a debt, and he will come to me and I'll say, I don't have any money, I'm in debt. He would say, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of your money. Okay, but you are in debt. It's the exact same way. Somebody that will take my sin has to be free from sin. Does it make sense? If somebody is in debt, he cannot take over the debt of somebody else. He won't be, nobody will accept him. If you go to a bank and say, okay, I'd like to borrow to buy a house, he'll say, okay, if you don't have that, okay, you can take this kind of credit. If you said, no, I have another house that I'm paying or another thing that I'm paying, they say, okay, you have to get somebody else to sign on your behalf. If this person is already taking debt, they may say, no, he cannot be your guarantor for that. So this is the exact same thing. If somebody will take my account of sin, he has to be without sin or sin-free or sinless to take my account. Make sense? So that's why our Lord Jesus Christ is without inherited sin and without personal sin. That's why he was able to take my imputed sin. In the Corinthians, the second Corinthians, the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. Who is him and who is he? For he, God the Father, made him, our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who knew no sin to be sin for us. How did he become sin? He took the sin. He's not sin, right? Is there something wrong in this verse? He became a sin to be a sin. Is there something wrong in this verse? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, this way is yes, this way is no. This way is no. Okay, I'll make it easy. Some kids are playing in snow or in mud, just to make it just clear. So they play with the mud, they cut mud and just throw each other. And they decided to pick one of them and all of them would throw mud on him. So what will happen to this person? You look at him, you won't see eyes, you won't see ears. You see just an opening of the mouth to breathe, and everything is mud. So this is what happened with Jesus Christ. We threw all our sins on him, that he was just all covered with sin, that we said he became sin for us. So this verse is right. So for he, God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him, in Jesus Christ. You got it? And we say in the Tasbeha, which is the night praise, we say, he took what is he took what is ours and gave us what is his. We praise him and glorify him and exalt him. So this is why we praise him, because he took our sins and gave us his righteousness. So this is the main idea that we are speaking about, which is the imputed sin. This one, I need somebody else to read it. Can somebody just come here and just read it? Yeah, please. No, come, just to let everybody hear. You have loud voice? Yeah, just come. I know you are courageous enough. Oh, you have a mic. You can pass him the mic.
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Just a minute. This is the word that St. Paul used. Sin is not imputed, was not moved on account of somebody. Please continue.
Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment, came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Thank you. So here you see the yellow part. Sin is not imputed. This is our topic that we were speaking about. There is a new thing about sin. It is imputed. One man's offense, who is this one man? Adam. And through one man's righteousness, who is this one man?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. That's right. So you find the man is in capital letters. So this is Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to pick this because sometimes we read the epistle of St. Paul and we do not recognize he's speaking about what? St. Paul's epistles are very deep, very nice, very challenging when you try to read them, but you have to read them stepwise. Oh, him is what? He is what? So it is a little bit challenging, but it is nice when you get the depth of it, you enjoy it. Okay, I'll stop till here, and I'll just try to say what we spoke about, just easy. And after this, I'll expect questions. So we spoke about Adam's sin. Is it fair or not to have a sin and we inherit this sin? Then we spoke about, isn't God aware of what's going on to happen by just his grand intelligence that he knows beforehand what may happen and what's the chances and. And if he knows that this may happen, would he held us accountable for Adam's sin, or even would he make Adam accountable for his own sin? Okay, then we spoke after this about the story of the mankind in a simple way, which is parents having kids and blah, blah, blah. And this is exactly what happens in our life. It's this very simple life, but we think about it in a little bit complicated way that Adam, he's somebody else and we are somebody else. No, it's the same story. Then we spoke about the different kinds of sin, which is the inherited sin, the personal sin, and the imputed sin. And we know that imputed sin is not something that we discovered lately. No, it is written in the Bible, but we don't read it that much, or just we pass by it without stopping what is imputed sin and what is the benefit of knowing that there is an imputed sin. So since we know this, we should make more confessions to take from our account these sins and just dump it on our Lord Jesus Christ's account and get rid of it to ensure that we are sin-free. And I'll stop here to hear questions. That's all. Questions? Okay, you can say an answer and I'll say the question. Yes. Mark, would you give him the mic because I can't hear. Sorry, it's my ears, not...
No, I'm sorry.
Is it fair to inherit someone else's fault, like a sin from someone else? Like, it's not my fault, it's Adam's fault. Right?
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah. Okay. So let us begin with the first question. Is it fair that we would take the sin, inherited sin? I'll answer this question with another question, which is, if I have a parent with, it's called what, the C disease is called what? Hepatitis C. If somebody is with hepatitis C and got a kid, he may pass this disease to him. Is it fair or not? So if we are speaking about fairness or not, it is my actions will have some consequences. These consequences, my kids may have it. It's unfair for them. But it's, in the first place, unfair that I'm causing this to my kids. It's not the opposite way. It is my unfairness, not God's unfairness. So if I'm not fair to my kids, they'll gain the consequences. But God is fair and just that he would reward them in a different way. I don't know what way he'll do it, but he will do it. So just, I know it's very complicated, this part, but Let me have the other question. You said, if the sin is imputed, means you mean inherited or imputed? Which is the inherited sin of Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, Adam's sin. What it caused kind of death. And on the other side, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we say it is given for remission of sins and eternal life. So we have the remedy of this problem or this disease. So we have both. We have the disease and we have the remedy. So I guess this way it should be fair. God said, okay, you inherited it without having any reason, without having any, doesn't make sense that you would inherit it, so I'll give you this remedy for free. You won't pay anything for it. So it is this way. And this is exactly the way that we disagree with other churches about. They say, okay, the baptism should be made when somebody is old enough to choose yes or no about it. So for example, if somebody will go to be a believer, he should make this decision on his behalf. Not somebody will make it on his behalf. So he'll make it on his own, sorry. Not somebody will do it on his behalf. But we say no. He took the sin, he inherited the sin without his without having a consent for that, without saying, yes, I'll inherit it. So we'll give him the salvation without even saying yes or no about it. So that's the logic behind it, that we say, okay, we'll baptize kids even without their consent, without we have enough their parents' consent. It is a little bit complicated. That's why I said, okay, we'll speak about this. Maybe Abuna Anthony will speak a little bit in depth in this general subject. Maybe he won't touch on these areas, but still we have the sin and we have the remedy. So we have both. So I guess it may cancel each other. And we have more chances because even in the liturgy, we say God allowed us to see things that angels are not allowed to see it. Amari, you have a question? That is 100% right. I'll tell you the glitch here that maybe I didn't clarify it well. After our Lord Jesus Christ came, he erased all sins, and we don't inherit sins. Like if I make a sin, my kids will not inherit this sin, but they will inherit the consequences. For example, if I have HIV, I made a sin and I got HIV, my kids will take the consequences because they'll get the same disease, but they will not inherit the sin. So this is what happened with Adam. We inherit the consequences of his mistake, but his sin we don't inherit it because our Lord Jesus Christ drew the line for that. So when we got baptized and come out, we come clean as if we are in the Garden of Eden. Other questions? I didn't expect that you guys are tough. Okay, the question is, okay, can you say again the question?
Okay, so when the head of angels sinned, he became the devil, and so God put him in hell, but he didn't put all the other angels in hell, although it's the same nature. So why when Adam sinned, didn't he put him in, didn't he kick him out and created another Adam or another man instead? Why did we have to go, like, as mankind, to go through this sin?
Can I correct a little bit the question?
Sure.
Because when the archangel Satanael sinned, he was an archangel, and he was having a group of angels under him. When he sinned, and his group also followed him. So he fell, and his Tagma means what? His group of angels fell with him. So it wasn't just one that fell, it was one with all his team fell with him. And he fell from being Satanael to be Satan. The same thing did not happen with the mankind, because the mankind were reproducing. So the angels weren't like that. Angels were same number from the beginning till the end. It's just this number and that's all. For mankind, it's a different story. They reproduce and get kids and stuff like that. So that's why they pass it to their kids. But angels does not have this option. That's why when we go to heaven, we'll be like angels. We'll not be married or... Sorry, Maggie, I don't know. But we won't be married. I'm telling my wife. So anyway, In heaven, we will not be having spouses, or we will be like angels. So I don't know if I answered the question or I move. Any other questions? Any other? Yeah.
If we don't inherit sins because Jesus died on the cross, if we don't inherit sins because Jesus died on the cross, you kept referring to baptism a few times. So why do we need baptism to start a new beginning?
I'll clarify it again. If we are not baptized, we get the sin. As soon as we got baptized, we come out of the baptism as if we are new, as if we were just in the Garden of Eden. If we did not got baptized, we'll get the inherited sin.
Why? Jesus died for it.
Yes, but we have to get this. We have to accept this salvation. We accept it through our baptism.
But Jesus died for it.
Jesus died for our sin, and he gave us the right to use it or not, use it or leave it. So we choose to use it. Use it means there is a sequence that we have to proceed with. This sequence that we have to follow some rituals, and we have to follow spiritual life.
Yeah, but that's for the personal sins that we do after we are born.
No, actually it's not for the personal sin, because the kid, when he's born, he doesn't have a personal sin. He's
exactly.
Just pure like angel.
Exactly.
But he has the inherited sin. As soon as he got in the baptism and come up, he's pure from the inherited sin.
But this contradicts what we just concluded in the previous question.
Okay. Let us reword it again. You'd like to say something? Got your point. Okay. So let me reword your question just to ensure that we are on the same page. I got born, then I went to the baptism, got baptized, got out clear from the original sin. Then, now I'm clear. So I got married, got kids. They should be clear from the original sin. Yeah, but they did not accept Jesus yet. It has to have this if close. If they accept him, accepting is through baptism. Is this your question?
Yeah, I know the answer. I'm just trying to see if there's
I know that the logic in this area maybe is not... What you are saying makes sense to me, but I'm missing something. Okay, so if I got baptized, I'm clear from sin, then I have kids, you are saying that they should be clear from sin.
Yeah, but
let me say something. We said something in the beginning. We said when Adam sinned, He got a sin and he got consequences. This consequences is the corruption. So the corruption is the corruption means that our bodies would be corrupted and will decay. So we'd like to get this corruption to be incorrupted, because we will be raised with this body. When I die, my body would be corrupted in the earth, but in the resurrection day, this body will get up again. So what we are trying to say This corruption is still in us because it's the consequences of this sin. We don't inherit the sin as a punishment in eternal life, but we inherit the consequences of this sin. So that's why we got baptized, to overcome this corruption and to have eternal life. Clear? Or? I know it's very difficult, this part, but we have to give it a thought and make it simple to ourselves in different ways. Like our Lord Jesus Christ gave us things like this in parables. So we have to think what it looks like. Other questions? Sure? Yeah?
And so when Jesus came and died on the cross, his blood is like the treatment. But the treatment, you don't get it. You get it in different phases. So first you believe, this is the first phase of the treatment. Then you get baptized, second phase. And so you go through all the phases. But that does not mean that you don't have the virus inside you anymore. It's just the virus is not going to kill you. You understand? Basically.
I'm not sure 100%, but just I need to give it another thought. I'm not sure about this point 100%, but it needs another thought. What's wrong? Just calm down. I don't agree 100% because it has some hiccups in it with respect to our faith, that you are saying we have the virus, so we have to go through some process. No, it's not some process. When you got baptized, you come clear. When you confess and repent, you come clear.
What I mean is like it's phases that we have to go through to be clear, or to like not make that sin kill us.
Anybody agree or disagree?
Disagree.
What's that?
No, I just disagree with everything. Because it's just from what I know is that when Jesus died, he died for all sins from creating Adam until the end of the world.
Yes.
Right? So now everything is pure, everything is new, and we get extra forgiveness for the extra sins that we do in our lives.
The blood of Jesus Christ is infinite, like it goes before and after. But we have to accept it. Accepting it, that we have to make something.
Yeah,
it's not like he gave us a benefit that it has to go to you. No. If you don't accept it, it's up to you.
But I'm not born with that. So I'm born new.
As I said before, we are born with the consequences of this sin that happened.
But what are the consequences?
It's the decay of our nature.
That's why I commit new sins, but my original sin is gone.
Yes.
So I'm born pure.
Yeah. Born pure after the baptism.
Why?
Amir, can you... He said, okay, why I'm clear after the baptism, not before?
That's what I was technically asking.
Yeah. And I answered, but he doesn't like my answer. So my answer, I'll say it again, maybe just get involved. Everybody, I need everybody to get involved. Because this question is not today. We've been hearing it for a long time. And you hear the answer, you got convinced, then after some time you get again just recite the question again. So we got, when Adam sinned, he got two things. He got death, and he got consequences of this death, which is the corruption of his nature. So when we accept our Lord Jesus Christ or accept his salvation, we don't go to the eternal death, but we still have the corruption of our nature. Okay? So the corruption, by taking our Lord Jesus Christ in us, we have the remedy for this corruption.
Okay, but I don't know. The way I see it is that the corruption is my ability to commit a new sin, but my status when I'm born is that I'm new. So I don't have any sins when I'm born, but I have the ability to commit a new sin. But then what did Jesus die for? But didn't Adam's sin, isn't Adam's sin forgiven when Jesus died? So, yeah, so that's what I don't understand.
There is a missing thing here. We said there is a difference between the punishment and the consequences. So you are mixing between these two. We have the consequences, but we don't have the punishment of Adam's sin. So we don't have the punishment, but we still have the consequences, which is like the HIV, which is the parent will pass them to their kids. The kids will have the HIV, but they have the remedy in the meantime. But they don't have the punishment for this sin.
Okay, let me ask a simpler question. Okay. What does baptism do?
Baptism is the new birth. You got born again from the church. So after being born, you have the church is your mother,